It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Go to the Mark chapter 11 and start reading from verse 22.
And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith.
When you pray, you believe it, that you received it, and you will have it. Sometimes we pray, and nothing happens, and you pray again, nothing happens. You pray again, nothing happens, and then you say, God is not answering my prayer, and you just go away. But here is the checklist. He says, you're standing there and praying and trying to move the mountain, and mountain is not moving. You might be having doubt, or you might have sin in your life. Please read the following two verses.
Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses.
Stand there, praying and asking God to move the mountains for you. He said, if you believe it, don't doubt it, it will happen to you. But if you have some kind of bitterness towards somebody, if you are fighting with somebody, you are not forgiving somebody, and you are asking God something, and it's nothing happening, then we have to know there is something wrong I'm doing. Otherwise, the Word of God is very pure and very true. If you believe it, and if you ask it, and if you believe it is done already, it's done. Because God respects our faith. Our God is a prayer-answering God. Our God is not a dead God. But sometimes, when we are praying, we are not checking if my life is right with God. And the Word of God says, even the husband and wife, if they are fighting and if there is no unity, the Word of God says their prayer will be hindered. That is in 1 Peter chapter 3. And so our prayer should not be hindered. We should be having good conscience towards God. So if our life is good, God will hear the prayer. People are thinking, oh, they are holy men or old men or very pious men. No. Each and every person who is a born-again Christian is a righteous. Because Jesus Christ shed his blood for us, with his blood, we got the righteousness of God. Righteousness means a right standing with God or in front of God. When God sees you through the blood of Jesus Christ, he said, you are not a sinner, then he says, you are righteous. So every righteous person has a confidence to pray. In Mark chapter 16, he says, all believers should have all these signs. And what signs, he says? Go to the Mark chapter 16.
And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
See, simple believers, if you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ, all these signs should follow you. And how are you doing it? You're doing it in the name of Jesus. If you use the name of Jesus, and you are doing for the glorifying God, these things will follow, these things will happen. You don't have to have a degree. You don't have to have 10 years of service in the Lord. Any born-again child of God can do it. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, he says, the greater one lives in you than what is in the world. What does it mean? If you are a little child of God, you have more power than the devil. You can cast out the devil in the name of Jesus, being just born again Christian. You don't have to be in the Lord for many, many years to do those things. Okay, let's go back to the Matthew, verse 23. Matthew 21, 23.
And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching, and said, By what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority?
He just cleaned the temple. At that time they did not say anything, and they thought Jesus will never come back in this temple again. But the word of God says he usually, every time or every day, he used to go to the temple and preach the gospel. He was not afraid of these people. Next day he comes back again to the temple. Now this time these people start asking, because he did not do anything yet, what authority you are doing these things? They were thinking about yesterday. There are people, you know, sometimes you do something several days ago and they keep still grudge in their mind, and they act so funny and they act rude. And sometimes you think, what did I do today? I didn't do anything today. But they have these things built up in their mind for several days, and that is not gone out of their mind, and they will treat you like you did something right now. But Jesus Christ was much smarter than these people. They asked him, what authority you are doing this? Means chasing us out, healing the sick, raising the dead, and all kinds of miracles you are doing. Who gave you the authority? And I want to know what authority you're doing and who gave you this authority. Jesus Christ heard this many, many times. And he already gave the answers many times. But this time, he did not want to give them right, straight answer. See verse 24. Matthew 21, 24.
And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if ye tell me, I and likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, Why did ye not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, We cannot tell. And he said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things.
The John the Baptist was the first one to proclaim about the water baptism. There was nobody publicly baptizing anybody. God chosen the John the Baptist to proclaim the baptism service, and he called the people, gave the message of repentance, and told them to confess their sins, and when they confessed their sins, they were baptized. And so they didn't know who baptized John. And some people might be thinking, Jesus baptized John. Jesus did not baptize John. When Jesus came to John the Baptist, he said, You should be baptizing me. Why should I baptize you? But Jesus Christ said, Let this righteousness of God be done. Because he came to obey the commandments, and the baptism was the commandment of God. So he said, I want to obey the commandments. But that time, he did not baptize the John the Baptist. Some movie people might show you that he baptized the John also. In the Word of God, Jesus never baptized John the Baptist. But we have the scripture when Mary went to Elizabeth's house when she heard from the angel that Jesus Christ is coming in your womb. And when she went and gave the salutation, and the baby in the mother's womb leaped for joy. That's the only reason we can see that John's baptism was from heaven and not from earth. No earthly man baptized him. But these people didn't have answer. If they say from heaven, then why don't you listen to him? If you say from earth, then people say John the Baptist is prophet, then they will stone us or they will kill us. So they simply say, we cannot tell. Verse 27.
And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things.
If Jesus wanted to let them know, he could say. He said many times, my Father works and I work and I came here to to do the father job, and I healed the people with the finger of God. And many times he explained, but this time he did not explain to them. He just simply said, if you don't want to tell, I'm not telling. And they shut their mouth. Let's read the verse 28. Now Jesus giving a parable. See, a couple of parables in here. Hope you can finish it. Go ahead.
But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first, and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not, but afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They sent him the first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him.
Now he gave a very good parables. He said, there was a man, he had two children, and the first one he said, could you go and work in the farm? He said, no, I'm not going to go. And he said to another son, will you go? Yes, sir, I'll go and work in your farm. And so the first one felt bad. Why did I say to my father, I will not go? He repented and he went. The second one, he was trying to deceive his father because he said, I'm going to do. Other one said, I'm not going to do. Now the other one said, no, he did it. And the person who said, I'll do, he didn't do it. Now just think, if father kept quiet and didn't ask anybody, then he would be thinking, the second son is good. He's the one did the job. But here he says, who did the job? He says, the first one who said no, he repented. So Jesus Christ is saying that John the Baptist came and he preached the gospel, and all the publicans, means all the tax collectors and all the sinners, they came and they heard his message, and the prostitute heard his message, and they repented. And he said, once you saw those people repenting and giving their life to God, why can't you repent afterwards? Even this, seeing other people doing something for the Lord, and why didn't you repent it and give your life to God? They had no answer. When I was young and when I was reading this scripture, the publicans and sinners and prostitutes will go to kingdom of God, and these Pharisees will not have chance. I was thinking, all these Pharisees, and they are godly people, why these godly people will not go to heaven, and why this prostitute and all sinners will go to heaven? But I forgot, the word of God said they repented. The prostitute and sinners will not go automatically to kingdom of God. They have to repent. And the Pharisees and all those people, they have to repent. He says, you never repented. And so he's saying, you had the chance, you should be repenting. Let's read verse 33, another parable.
Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about, and digged a winepress in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country.
Now here he's saying everything in detail what this man did. He did the hard work. He put the vineyard, he put the winepress there, he put the hedge and fence there, he put a tower there so somebody could stay in the tower and see if the enemy coming to destroy his vineyard. He did a hard work. And all this done, and then he gives to some person to take care of his farm and the vineyard, and he left for the far country. And see what happens. Verse 34.
And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another.
Now see, three people came. And they came to the season when the harvest time. He said, okay, our master sent us here. We need some fruits. And so they beat one person, they kill one person, and they stone another. Then the
again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir, come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him, and cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen?
Now hear this parable. He sent some servants, they killed, they wounded, they stoned. He sent others, they did the same thing. Then the master says, I'm going to send my son. They might respect him. But the word of God says they didn't respect. They said, let's kill him. So there won't be any heir coming. Then all things will be ours. And they kill him. And so he was giving an example to these people. They got the message. When you finish this, you will know. They got the message. Jesus Christ was saying, God sent so many prophets, and most of the prophets were killed. Not a single prophet these Israeli people respected. All the prophets, one after another, he kept on sending, and they killed. Now then, in the last time, he sent his son, and they also killed him and crucified him outside the gate. And that's the story he was saying. Now he asking them what the master or what the Lord will do. Let's read verse 41.
They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.
Now here we see, Jesus Christ gave them these parables, and they said, okay, the master will come and miserably destroy them and give it the vineyard to somebody else. He said, okay, that's true. But you ever read what was the plan of God? He says, there was a stone. That stone was the cornerstone. That stone builder rejected. So he is trying to say Jesus Christ came here to establish his kingdom, or tell them about the kingdom of God, but they rejected him and they cast him away. He's quoting the Bible scripture. I'm going to give a couple of scriptures. Psalm 118, verse 22 and 23.
The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the scripture Jesus Christ took it. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14 and 15.
And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken.
Jesus Christ was saying, this is the prophecy, and this prophecy you people are fulfilling. In short, he was trying to say, I'm the one, the cornerstone. I'm the one here came, but you are rejecting me and rejecting the God's plan. But after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and when he sent the Holy Spirit, the disciples came to know what Jesus Christ was talking about. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 11 and 12.
This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
So what the disciples are saying, you rejected the cornerstone, but this is the Jesus Christ was the Savior, and there is no other Savior. And let's go to the 1 Peter chapter 2, starting from verse 4 to 8.
To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed.
God appointed these people, that God was going to do great things through these people. They didn't understand. They did not understand Jesus Christ as a Messiah, and they killed him, and they did not believe in him. And just like a blindness on their eyes, and even today, many Jewish people do not know Jesus Christ is the Messiah. So remember when he gave the parable and he said what the master will do, what the landlord will do, what the person will do who has the vineyard. They said he will take it from them and give it to somebody who will do it. The same thing Jesus Christ is saying. Let's go back to the Matthew chapter 21 verse 43.
Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof.
He says, now the kingdom of God is taken from you and give it to some other nations, they can bring the fruit. I believe that Israel has a place. God is not going to forsake Israel. In the millennium, Israel people will be there and God is going to bless them. But they lost the first blessing. Because if you read in the book of Jeremiah, go to Jeremiah chapter 31, he says, I'm going to make a new covenant with my people. Now, this is the two different meanings in this. One covenant he made through Jesus Christ, and that's a new covenant. 31, starting from 31.
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more.
This only happened when Jesus Christ took that bread and said, This is my body, broken for you. And he took this cup and he said, this cup as a new testament. And so he gave that cup and he says, this will be the forgiveness for sins, for not only for you, but for many. And so we know when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and there is no sin in our life. And the God says, I will remember your sin no more. But this thing did not happen to Israeli people yet. This will happen in the millennium. But whatever the blessing God stored for them, they lost it. And so now he said, they did not listen to my commandment. So now I'm going to make a new covenant with my people. I go back to the Matthew chapter 21. And when we just read verse 43, read it one more time and then I'm giving a couple of verses.
Therefore say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof.
Taking from you and giving to another nation. Now if you read the book of Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5 and 6, please read.
Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel.
If you listen to me, and if you don't, you will lose your covenant. And that's what happened. Jeremiah said they did not listen, so I'm going to make a new covenant. Now, go to the 1 Peter chapter 2 and read verse 9 and 10. Then you compare with this scripture.
But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
They were chosen people. They were God's people. They were special people. But they did not keep the word of God. Just like Jesus says, he will take the vineyard from them and give it to the nation. The nations will produce the fruit and please God. And so here he's saying, we are now those special people. And God has chosen us and to praise him. He has called us from the out of the darkness into his marvelous light. So we were in the dark. Jesus Christ came and he delivered us from the power of darkness. And now we are in the marvelous light. That light is called the light of Jesus Christ, or the kingdom of his dear son. And verse 10.
which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
See, we were not the children of God before. We were strangers. But Jesus Christ came, shed his blood for us, made the new covenant with us, with his blood. Now we are precious people. Someday when I'll have time, we are going to study. We are greater than the Old Testament people. Last week, if you remember in the Sunday service, I said we are greater than angels. So we are going to say we are greater than angels. We are greater than the Old Testament people. And God has blessed us much more than the Old Testament people. Go back to the Matthew. Let's finish a couple of verses remaining. Verse 44.
And whosoever shall fall on the stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a prophet.
Now see, when they heard these parables, they understood he is telling this parable for us, and we are those people. And then he said, this stone, if somebody falls on this stone, they will be broken. But if this stone falls on them, then it will be powder. That means the people who did not understand Jesus Christ and they stumble and fall. But there's some people, they purposely going against God's will and start doing the things which is not pleasing in the sight of God. Like Antichrist. When the Antichrist comes and starts his kingdom, they think that nobody can destroy their kingdom. But Book of Daniel, please read Book of Daniel chapter 2. Daniel explained to the king what would happen to their kingdom. He says there will be stone coming from heaven. Nobody touching that stone. That stone will fall from heaven. And what he will do? Go ahead. Daniel 2:45.
For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure.
Now see what he's trying to say. When that stone comes from heaven, nobody's touching hand, and that stone we read as Jesus Christ. When he comes, and if you read in a book of Revelation chapter 19, he comes, get hold of the Antichrist, get hold of false prophet, put them in a lake of fire and destroys them. After that, the millennium starts. To the millennium, all this devil will be cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. After that, when he is released, the word of God says he goes back and try to gather more people against God's people. And the word of God says the fire comes from heaven and burns these people. And the old serpent will be cast where the Antichrist and the false prophet is. So the word is trying to say, when this stone comes and falls in this Antichrist kingdom, make them powder, doesn't matter, yes, the iron or silver or gold or any metal, or anything will make it to powder. And then his kingdom starts, means the kingdom of Jesus Christ for eternity.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.